Lighthouse Church presents the following message.
My name is Steve. I'm one of the elders here at Lighthouse, and I'm the elder that coordinates some of our ministries and our missions event. And once again, I want to welcome all of you who are visiting today and those of you who are watching online. We know you have lots of choices. There's lots of places you could be at this time on a Sunday morning. The Lord bless you. We love you and pray that the Lord touches you in a special way this morning. This morning is a unique Sunday in that once a year, we just kind of pause and we honor and we emphasize the ministries that we prayerfully support and financially support. It's a time for our ministries and our missionaries to come in and to share with you, for you to know them, for them to know us. And so we've got six tables across the back here. We've got five ministries that we've been supporting, and we added another ministry, a couple in Taiwan, of which we will explain and introduce you to them a little further on in the service. But thank you for coming out. Bless you. I want to introduce a committee that is a part of everything we do in missions today. There's a number of us, and maybe if you'd stand when I mention your name, this is the missions committee of Lighthouse. Christy Heistend, could you kind of stand and be honored just for a moment? Please remain standing. We've got Larry Draper in the back. No, you're going to stand up, man. You got to stand up.
He's the oldest member of our church.
Oh. Did you hear, Jason? The oldest, excuse me, member, we'll just, Andrew Flesky. Is Andrew here? Thank you, Andrew. And Keith Van Order is under the weather today. He's at home. Thank you, Keith, if you're watching on our channel. And Marlene, my wife, and myself, we also participate in this. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. We've been supporting five ministries. Let me just run through them real quick, and then they are going to come up and share for a few minutes, every one of them. And some of them will have a video, some will not have a video. And it'll be just a time for us to reflect and to be prayerful. They're here today. Afterwards, they're going to man their tables back here. Go back and hug their neck. Get some information. Slip them a $500 bill if you're so inclined. But love on them, if you would, please. So we've got the Conrads in Cuernavaca, Morelos, Mexico. Excuse my accent. Excuse me. And then we've got Kurt Ackerman in San Salvador, El Salvador. Kenny Thacker, our own Kenny Thacker with Sound Word Ministries. We've got Life Talk Resources. We have Able Faith with us this morning. And each of them are going to come up here, and they're just going to share their heart. I'm going to ask if the Conrads would come, Andrew and Cheryl. Jason and I made a trip down to Cuernavaca, Morelos, in July, I guess it was, and had a real special time with this couple. I've known this couple for, 50 years, I guess. I don't know. For 34 years, I was a part of beginning the mission of which they represent here today, World Indigenous Missions. 34 years ago, they came through San Antonio, and once again, I just want to reiterate that I remember at the end of a day after meeting Andrew and Cheryl, and I remember coming home and telling Marlena, I says, oh, this poor couple, they're not going to make it. They're young, they're newlyweds, they're tender, and I understand they're going to be training with, and pray for them. 32 years or 31 years later, one of our sister Kerygma churches had mentioned to me, you know, we're supporting somebody from World Indigenous Missions. And I says, who's that? The Conrads. I said, they're still in Mexico? 34 years, we love them. This year, they have become our people. In that we are their home church, okay? So we cover them spiritually. We love on them. We bless them as we can. So receive them as one of you, of one of us. They're one of us. So the community that we have among ourselves, just let it kind of pour over to Andrew and Cheryl, okay? Lord bless you guys. I'm going to just, I guess you're going to call a video or?
Sure, let's cue the video.
Sometimes I think, what will people say of me?
when I'm only just a memory, when I'm home where my soul belongs. Was I love when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song?
Let me just tell you a little bit about Gloria. Gloria came to the Lord and was baptized, and we think that people that know the Lord should serve him and serve his church. So we started taking her to the different places of ministry that we do. And right now, this week, she went on her own to minister by herself to a group of women who are fighting addiction, and she shared the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it was so exciting to hear her do that. So we just want to thank you so much for praying for us and for the ministry that we're doing and supporting us and accepting us as members of your church. Amen. So please continue to pray for us that we would be able to continue to disciple people in our house. Just pray that the Lord maintains that door open for us. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. We'll be at the back table and you can come and we'll talk to you some more if you want to. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew and Cheryl. Thank you so much. Our next ministry we're going to just hear a little bit about is Kurt Ackerman is going to come in just a minute. Why don't you come now, Kurt? And Kurt visited San Salvador, El Salvador, in the year 2000. He visited in 2000, and in 2003, the Lord got a hold of his heart and sent him back to El Salvador to live. And so he's been there for, gosh, right around 20 years. So be careful if you go down with Jenny for a trip to El Salvador. I'm just saying, the Lord, he's going to have his way. So, Kurt, Lord bless you. I'll give you this one.
First, thank you guys for welcoming me. I really don't remember how I became a missionary. I think it was through Jenny for you guys. But the way you guys love on me, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. When I first moved to El Salvador in 2003, I was their first missionary, so I had nobody loving on me, and they just wanted reports and numbers from me. And for you guys just to welcome me every year, it's awesome. So I asked them just to roll the video, some pictures behind me while I'm talking. I am not a public speaker. I'm horrible. I've been super emotional lately too. Two weeks ago, my mom passed away. And so I was in the States for about 11 days with my kids. And then I flew back to El Salvador for a night, and then I flew back here. So it's just been a rough couple weeks, but I'm here, and I am so happy to be here with you guys too. Who we are, we're a nonprofit in El Salvador, and we're also a 501c3 here in the United States. We're two totally separate organizations, and 100% of what we raise here in the United States goes to El Salvador to support our missions. My family and I, we also don't get a paycheck from the ministry. We raise our own funding separate, so that way there's no question about where the money is going, or 100% of our money that we raise in El Salvador or that we raise in the United States goes directly to our programs, our projects, and everything like that. So, and basically, we're super simple, or I'm super simple. We are there in El Salvador, and when I went in 2000, it's never changed. We just support the kids in the orphanages. We support the kids in the youth prisons. We love on them. We care for them. We give them what they never had, and that's just somebody to listen to them, somebody to love on them, somebody to be with them, somebody to teach them. So what we do in El Salvador, it's totally grown over the years since I have moved there. We have basically five main areas that we focus on. We have a culinary school program, which is called the States Diner, and that has grown over the years, and now we have a bakery. We have a couple cafes and a government park. We have and a couple locations where we actually teach kids aging out of the government orphanages and teach kids in the prisons, the youth prisons, different culinary skills, different how to wait tables, how to interact with clients, how to clean and everything like that, and they all get a paycheck. So it's a super big project. It's grown to crazy numbers. I think we have like 53 employees now, but we actually have four guys and two girls every morning that come from the government prisons. They come to us in handcuffs. They come with an armed guard, and they take off their handcuffs, and they come and they work in the restaurant. Because of COVID still, most restaurants are still wearing masks, the wait staff and stuff like that. But so most of our clients don't realize that somebody who used to be a real bad guy is waiting their tables and taking their order and asking them what they want to drink. And it's just amazes me to see these guys who committed horrendous crimes at 12, 13, 14 years old, and they have pretty long sentences that come and they work, and they're so humble and they're so grateful, and to see a smile on their face and to see them, to for me to be able to go up and hug them or smack them on the back of their head when they're doing something wrong, it's just amazing because if you're in El Salvador, you wouldn't do that to a ex-gang member, so it's not smart. We also have a building project. We build wood homes and concrete homes. The wood homes are for people that squat on the lands, and then the concrete forever homes are for people who actually are buying the land or they own the property. Those are at no cost to them. That's what we use our mission teams for. When you guys come out there, we use your money to pay for these houses, and we build them houses. And then we also have people give houses in kind or for Christmas presents or for birthday presents and stuff like that. And it just totally changes the family dynamic. It gives them a safe place to be. Most of the people that we're building homes for, they live in plastic houses or tin houses on the sides of the highway or something like that. And this gives them hope. This, we are not there to continually take care of somebody. We are there to give them a hand out, help, and then ask them to work hard for their families. And so our goal is just to keep the families together. We also have two transition homes. We have a boys' home and a girls' home. And we were in the process of moving last year when we came here. And it's such a great place. Right now we have 12 boys and we have 3 girls. And the program is just growing immensely. We have boys waiting to come into our program. They're kids that turn 18 years old, that age out of the government orphanages, or they're being released from the youth prison. And we actually have 2 kids that were released from the youth prison. They, one of them was in jail for, since he was 13 years old, for rape. And we're there to show them, to teach them, for them to understand about God's grace in their lives. So we work with the areas that we work with the kids is we work with their spiritual life. We work with their getting job skills. We also work with their education. We actually have 7 kids in university this year, which is an outstanding number because our first kids were, they have third, fourth grade, fifth grade education. Some of them we have to teach them how to read. So, and then we also work on their mental health and their physical health. And teach them basic things, hygiene, how to open up a bank account, how to take a bus because they've been taken care of their whole lives by the system. So then also we have a Bible study program. We use the CBS Bible study program. Some of you guys may have heard of it. It's pretty popular here in the States. But for us, we use it because it goes from all the way from toddlers all the way up to teenagers, young adults, and special needs kids. So we do those Bible studies in 8 different centers and 2 youth prisons every week. So we are constantly bringing them the Word of God. We are constantly doing crafts. We're building that relationship because some of those kids that we get, they're going to be coming into our center, into our homes that we have. This last year, since I've been there, it's going to be 19 years on December 1st, the kids that I knew as babies in the HIV center have been moving in with us and living with us and taking care of them. And it's amazing to me how I remember the first time I met them and where they are today and where we want them to go in life. So, and then also we have a hair school. And cosmetology school. It's called You're Someone Special Too. It's actually on a government orphanage site. And we run about 6 classes out of that. Our teacher is sponsored by a pretty famous hairdresser from El Salvador. And it's one of our favorite projects because we teach the girls life skills. We teach them how to get a job. But also we teach them basic hygiene stuff. And it goes all the way from special needs to adults. So, sorry. In our world right now, everybody's about the matrixes. Everybody's about the numbers. Everybody's about, they want results for for what they do and for their donations and stuff like that. Our first Transition House kid from 10 years ago, Miguel, we feed him on the streets probably 3 times a week. He left after about 3 years. He's still doing glue. He's skinny as a rail, but he calls me 4 or 5 times a week at least, and he calls me Dad. And I know that's not a success story, but that's also, he's still alive, and he knows God. So for me, that's a win. We've had kids in our program commit suicide. We've had kids get arrested. But we also have kids that have fallen in love, gotten married, and now they have their own kids. And we see them growing up, and we see them being great, responsible adults and working for their kids. We actually have 4 kids living in Ohio right now that got work visas to work at a fish pellet manufacturing company. So, but 2 of them have bought a house already in the United States. I mean, you know, the stuff is just crazy. And what it is, it's crazy that God used me, and I'm not a great person, but God can definitely use you. So for me, like, I went on my first short-term mission in 2000, but I would encourage you, without going on my first short-term mission, I would not know what is out there in the world, and I would not know what's available. And God has just really, really blessed me over these years. So I want to thank you guys, and I appreciate you having me.
Thank you, Kurt. Lord bless you.
I was supposed to tell you about Jenny.
You're supposed to tell me about Jenny?
Okay. Jenny's trip.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ramseys are back with us, and we are so glad. We made them go through the new members class twice, just in case they caught something out there and bring it in here, you know. So, but Jenny, I just want to mention that she has a group going down December 28th, so just after Christmas, and there's a few spots that are available on that. She will be back at Kurt's table, the most decorated table back here. You can't miss it. So go back there, talk to Jenny and Mike, and get some information about that. Sign up for the trip. Lord will bless you, but be careful. He might call you to El Salvador. Okay, next up, we've got Life Talk Resources. Melissa has been here a few times. Melissa is on a leave of absence just for a little while. And this is Nelson Caperton. Thank you, sir. Here's your microphone.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're glad you're here. This is your money. This is where your money goes, okay? In part, I mean, we're really behind all of these groups, and we love them. They're good. You can trust them. Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, Lighthouse. First time here. Actually, I'm not in Prosper very often. I'm from Frisco, like way down south. Almost as far as Mexico and El Salvador. yes, my name is Nelson Caperton. I have been in Frisco since 99, so I've seen a lot of the growth around here. I'm a volunteer at Life Talk Resource Center, and that's what I'm here to talk with you about today. Been volunteering there for almost 2 years. One more thing about myself, my wife and I have been married for 25 years now. We have 4 children of our own, and I love Jesus. I love His church, with a capital C. I love missions. I've been on many missions trips myself, and I love Life Talk Resource Center. Can I tell you a little bit about it? Here's the mission statement. Life Talk exists to offer a biblical view of pregnancy, sexual health, life, and marriage as defined between one man and one woman by offering educational programs and services to help women and men make informed choices. Life Talk seeks to advocate for abundant life, resulting in families united, redeemed souls, and eternal joy. I think I have some brochures on that back table. I think there's a QR code on it. Or you can look at friendsoflifetalk.org, friendsoflifetalk.org for more information. What is it? Our clinic is in the heart of Frisco, established in 2008, and offers 100% free services such as pregnancy tests, sonograms, STD testing, and counseling. We're open 4 days a week right now. We have appointments scheduled on the hour, and we have a small full-time staff combined with about 24 volunteers. And guess what? We need more. Hint, hint. Volunteers, we're called client advocates. Our approach is simple, pro-abundant life, pro-abundant life. This is a message that has the power to transform lives. We embrace and promote marriage, encouraging responsible fatherhood, and sometimes just what is a real man from a God's perspective in general, and consistently sharing the transformative message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means providing compassion, hope, and help. Compassion, hope, and help to those facing pregnancy decisions so that they're empowered to choose life for their unborn children. The source of that hope, The source of that help and compassion, The creator and author of life himself, our one and only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, when God blesses us with the opportunity to share his truth with a future father or a future mother, there's potential impact now and on future generations. When our conversations with, I'm in the men's program, so I'll talk to the father of the baby in my appointments, conversations turn to fatherhood. They turn to family. Marriage is a big subject. We get to champion God's plan and his design for these foundational roles and institutions. Now, many of you probably already know this, but abortion in Texas is now illegal as of August. Since Roe v. Wade was overturned this summer, it's now illegal to perform an abortion in Texas. However, what do we hear now? We hear of abortion-determined or abortion-minded folks, some that come to get appointments with us. They may be planning a trip to Colorado or New Mexico, California, because it's still legal to get an abortion there, unfortunately. Quickly, can I tell you a story? Common appointment that we have goes something like this, just an example. I don't have slides today, but if I did, I'm going to step aside. If I did, it would be cycling through pictures of the cutest little babies you've ever seen, like this little dude right here with his passy in his mouth. That's what it would be cycling on the screen up there, and every one of them you'd go, oh, look at that cute little baby. That's what we'd be showing. A common appointment goes like this. A young couple finds out they're pregnant. They took an at-home pregnancy test, maybe 3, 4, 5. And it was unexpected, and they're surprised. They have lots of emotions, right? Lots of concerns, lots of fears. Big question is normally, okay, what do we do now? Where can we get some free resources, of course? And when they come meet with us at Life Talk, they are welcomed in by a client advocate. We guide them through kind of the process, pregnancy tests, sonogram, whatever we're able to do with them, and counseling. It's a package deal. You can't just come get a pregnancy test and leave. We're going to have a conversation with you. We have woman-to-woman advocates, volunteers. We have men-to-men advocates. That's what I do. We need more. We have a nurse on staff. She's great. She's an expert in the medical services, but we also get to know each client that comes in. Learn a little bit about their story. We each have one, right? Then we offer compassion, hope, and help. In most conversations, we get to share the gospel, and often it's the first time they've ever heard the good news. We have bookshelves of Bibles, other print resources, as well as online digital resources that we get to share. And seriously, at Life Talk, we get to love and serve each and everyone who comes in our door. And believe me, there's a wide spectrum of cultures and religions, backgrounds, different nationalities that come in from all over the place. I mean, we're in Frisco. It's got everything. And we get to minister to them. It's a very fertile mission field, and it's right in your backyard. Our appointments usually include an offer to follow up, discipleship, mentoring, and there's also, this is important, abortion recovery programs. They've already had an experience. The woman or the man needs to recover from that, however long ago that may have been. So there's great programs for abortion recovery. Lastly, I'd like to introduce something to you, which is a group study designed to equip a church. It's for everyone on the journey of pro-abundant life. Here's why. Research into abortion has shown that 4 out of 10 women who have had an abortion, they were actively attending church at the time of their abortion. When I first heard that, I was shocked. I realized that Christians need to overturn Roe v. Wade in their hearts and in the pews or the chairs. And as we do a better job of that, there are resources to help equip and empower the church to do that well. Okay? So this study, this is a group study created by CareNet, which is a fantastic ministry. It's basically a coordination ministry for all the resource centers, a couple thousand of them across the country. They're fantastic. It's an on-ramp for reaching, you know, ministering to men and women in pregnancy decision situations. It's designed for everybody. Purpose is simply equip the church to offer compassion, hope, and help, and discipleship to women and men. Anybody facing pregnancy decisions. It's for any Christian woman, man, or even youth, high schooler, who is curious or called to take a stand for life. Anyone who believes, like Pastor Tony Evans, one of my favorites, one of the greats, he states, God created life and us in his image. The culture doesn't define life. God does. More on the study. I'm about to lead one at my church. Probably in January we'll start. Anybody's welcome to come. I go to Hope Fellowship on the west side of Frisco, so it's probably a bit of drive for most of y'all. But it'll be open to anybody. Making Life Disciples is the name of the study, makinglifedisciples.com, for more details. So let me just conclude with a huge thank you from LifeTalk, a huge thank you to Lighthouse for supporting us. For information about serving or getting involved, friendsoflifetalk.org, or come talk to me in the back after service. The group study for pro-abundant lifers, makinglifedisciples.com. Lastly, I would like to invite every man here, and I see a lot of men here, I would like to invite every man here to join me, either get involved or serve at LifeTalk. A lot of different areas to serve. Or there is actually going to be a pro-life men's conference called Men's Summit at Oak Cliff Bible, south of Dallas, Tony Evans' church. It's going to be in March, first weekend of March. If you're interested in joining me, get my contact info. Let's get a group together. Let's represent Prosper, Frisco, the whole area. I went to the first one they held this last March, and there were 500 men there from all over the country, and it was phenomenal. I think it's Mac Brown's going to be the worship leader there from Third Day, if y'all know that those guys. So great stuff. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Amen. Thank you, Nelson. Thank you. Thank you. Kenny Thacker is with us this morning, who needs no introduction. Except for those of you who are visiting. Kenny directs a ministry called Sound Word. He started that years ago, laid it down, was our pastor for 7 years, and the Lord has led him back to kind of ramp that back up again at a very timely, crucial time in our nation. And so with no further ado, here's your microphone, sir.
Thank you, Steve-O. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for loving us well. We believe that the local church, you hear me? We believe that the local church is the hope of and the lifeline to our country and our culture. We believe that. Recent data shows that nearly half of American evangelical pastors have considered quitting the ministry in the last year. Half. More recent data shows that number increases by double digit points within the last few months. The number jumps again among pastors 45 years old and under. Jumps again. Only one in three pastors is considered healthy in well-being. You hear that? One in three. And the measured categories there of well-being were spiritual, emotional, physical, relational, vocational, and financial. One in three, healthy. There are many common reasons there that are for all of those things, usual suspects of discouragement and loneliness and stress. But to a lot of pastors, especially of smaller or more rural congregations, new to them stresses of gender confusion, political division, erosion of trust, good people who no longer value attendance and who are just deconstructing their faith in an unhealthy way and just not coming to church since the pandemic. But another thing they had in common was this. I want you to listen to me. Another thing they had in common was this. They all agreed if there was anything else that they could do vocationally, they would do it. Now, the only thing that I can think of that would be worse than nearly half the pastors in our country quitting would be for them to stay with no passion, no purpose, and no plan. That would be worse. Our mission is really simple. We build relationships with them and with their leaders that allows us to offer them the resources, correction, help, all those things that provides the kind of care and encouragement and equipping that they so desperately need to help them maintain their passion, stay focused on their purpose, and assist them in envisioning and implementing a plan. This is what we do. Now, there are a few ways that we do that. We do that with personal visits. We go to them, bringing them encouragement, counsel, and prayer at no cost to them. This course means a lot of travel. We have been all over the states for this past year. Makes me tired thinking about it. We do three-day retreats. Thankfully, we have are blessed to have a nice ranch that's made available to us, and we design these retreats so that only three or four pastors at a time can come to those. They can eat great food. That you know, Miss Lynn. They eat great food. Spend time fellowshipping with other pastors who are dealing with similar issues to them in similar-sized churches. It's not a conference where the expert comes in and tells them all the things to do, so they'll have 1,500 people next week. Okay. Plus, they always include very powerful time of ministry, prayer, strategy, encouragement, all of those things. Weekly Zoom meetings. We've had a weekly meeting with up to 20 pastors on this format for nearly 3 years now, every Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Stop what I'm doing, and I'll lead this group of pastors as a touch point of them for accountability, for learning as we go through books together, hear each other's heart, pray for one another, and also provide one-on-one counseling for those guys during the week for a number of guys. And then ministry resources, another way that we help. We develop and provide gospel-centered resources for helping resolve conflict and crisis, to provide customized leadership training materials for the churches, as well as offering hands-on help for elders, deacons, small group leaders, worship leaders, various other positions providing care and service to their congregation, as well as leading mission work trips. Like, we just got back from one to an area of the country that was desperately needing it. So we are busy, and thank God that we are. Here's how you can partner with us. Churches that we are trying to reach and assist are smaller churches with smaller budgets, where all too often care and equipping for the leaders take a back seat to more visible but less crucial needs. This is the way it is. So we certainly desire your prayers, but I'm asking you to prayerfully consider investing in us as well, financial support. We operate on a very tight budget and are able, with God's grace, to do a whole lot with a little. We raise all of our own support, and we're not fully funded. God takes care of us. It's really true that every little bit is important and be greatly appreciated and put directly to use toward the mission that I'm talking about. Recently received a message. This is what keeps you going. Recently received a message from a pastor that I've been investing in for 2 years. And it simply said, I wrote it down, just said, quote, "I would have quit this year had the Lord not sent you to us." If you'd like to help us bring that sort of care and encouragement to others, stop by the table. We'll let you know different ways that you can do that. If you have any more questions or need some more information, I'd love to sit down and talk with you about our mission. So thanks.
Kenny. Thank you, Kenny. Lord bless you. Kenny holds a special place in all of our hearts here at Lighthouse. We've got another ministry for you to get to know again this year. It's called Able Faith Ministry. Wake up, Jose. Jose Garcia is here. And this is a relatively new ministry. Jose, why don't you run up here and take a couple of minutes and just let us know who you are and what you're doing. He is the last table on the end back here. Randy and Jennifer Sotka are visiting with us again today, who have been a part of, here he comes, wheeling up here, who's been a part of the beginning of this ministry. So, Jose, take a minute.
All right, thank you. It's Jose Martinez, but Garcia, we're pretty close. One of those names, it's all right. I want to thank everybody. I missaid Randy's name, and Sadie corrected me, so no big deal. It happens. First off, thank you so much for your donations and your support and your prayers. We've been making huge progress this last year. As we see here, we'll talk a little bit about that. But also, put me right next to a pastor, right behind a pastor, like he had a super deep mission. So what we do is we just uplift the lives of people with physical or neurological disabilities that causes paralysis. And what we do is we provide programs and resources so that way they can, I'm not in the camera shot here, what are we, are we good? Okay. That provides program resources for them to use their gifts. So I'm going to go over a little scripture here real quick. Randy sent this to me yesterday, which was really good. Thank you, Randy. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God. And that's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. So what happens when somebody has paralysis? Does that special gift go away? It does not. What happens is people get isolated, people get anxiety from not wanting to go out, looking different. There is 332,000 people, I said this last year, with a disability that impedes their mobility. In DFW, not in the U.S., just in DFW. 21 million in the U.S. So, and that's one in four people that have a disability that affects their mobility and paralysis. So if we have about 100 people here today, that would mean we would have, you know, at least 20 people that should be in some type of a mobility impairment or a wheelchair or a cane. We have two, and we brought them. They're great. We love you, Preston, in the back, Randy, Micah. All that just goes to say, well, where are they at? Where are these people? They're at home. They're isolated. They don't have the transportation. They don't have the opportunities to use their gifts and serve. Randy has a great gift. He has a great gift of outreach, great gift of spreading the gospel. He is so knowledgeable. So he's been a blessing to us. He was one of our first people that we served with a respite dinner. What's a respite dinner? That's one of our programs where we provide a 4 or 5 course meal for a family that's going through some form of paralysis or disability in their family to allow their caregiver to get 2 to 3 hours off, not worrying about cooking, not worrying about washing any dishes, not worrying about what am I going to cook. Some of us, that paralysis of just what am I going to cook? What am I going to cook? And then what happens is we go to McDonald's or Chick-fil-A. But we love Chick-fil-A because they gave us some fellowship lunch coupons. So thank you, Chick-fil-A. But anyways, all that to say is that we have a lot of different programs that are going to serve and do serve that community. R12 is partnering with us. We're having a Friendsgiving next Saturday. So thank you, R12. They're partnering with us. We're going to be doing I think we're serving 9 different families in the DFW area, and it'll be held at Able Faith. So last year, Riley and I came up here. If you guys remember Riley, he wasn't able to be here because he has a sore, which comes with paralysis from a bed sore. So what happens is if you don't take control of it, it'll start to get bigger and bigger and cause other issues. So also, we said somebody donated a building for us to use, all right? 6,300 square foot building in the Galleria, and thank you. And it's donated for free, all right? Free, 6,300 square feet. And we came up here, and we're excited, and we're like, yes, we have somewhere we can run our programs. We're going to have a physical training or a gym area so Randy can get his swole on. And what happens is we said, coming soon. Well, our coming soon and God's coming soon is a little bit different, okay? But all in the Lord's timing. So it's been a year, and yesterday we got our certificate of occupancy. So thank you so much for everybody. Thank you so much. We'll be able to strength train there. We're holding our social events there. And then also I want Randy to kind of tell a little bit about what Able Faith has been to him and then a special guest that he brought.
Hello, testing. Okay, all right, it works. First and foremost, I thank and I love everybody at Lighthouse. Just really grateful and thankful for everybody's just love, just continued unity and support. But yeah, for me, when we were injured, I think any of us, the first thing that happens is we're just trying to figure out life. Those of us are married, there's a very high percentage that there is no more marriage, it's divorce. So there's a lot of things that we're trying to figure out. But when Jose came out, for me, I mean, he bring a respite meal. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And just kind of expected, you know, just a normal, hey, drop and then never hear from you again. But should've. He spent time. Yeah, should have. He should have ran. That's his bad. But, yeah, I mean, it just, you know, for me, it just the authenticity of just him wanting to stay and take time, which is a huge thing, and just visit with us. And it made such an impact. I'm like, you know what? Other people just aren't leaving their house. Like he was saying, you don't see the people that are injured and hurting because they won't get out. And the enemy has a very good way of taking those people out. It's a very high suicide rate. So it just made an impact on me, Jennifer, my wife, just to go out and we just volunteered. I mean, we just wanted to take a ministry to people, you know, share the gospel, show the love of Christ, just wherever we are, and just to try to make an impact and, you know, provide a hope, through the love of Christ. And, we've seen people come to Christ because of it, which is the ultimate goal. I mean, you know, these bodies are temporary, but you know, there's an internal impact that is a goal. So the Able Faith facility, I mean, is a hand of God to give a building of that size for free. But aside from physical and social, I mean, the goal and the hope is faith and ministry out of it. So it's not just a workout place. I mean, we have rooms and stuff set aside for caregivers, and I plan to be involved in, you know, ministry there as much as possible. So, but made a huge impact for me. My daughter is also a very awesome child and is stepping into leadership roles. And I don't know, were you wanting to say something? Sure? Okay.
All right.
She's done a few speeches, but yeah, it's been great. It's been great. So,
all right, that's enough for him. All right, here we go.
Able Faith is not just like this place where you just go to work out. It's like this place where we get to know each other, dig deep into the Bible, talk about how your life is, maybe even make some more friendship. It's really mostly about telling Jesus, but it's also about getting people strength. And many people are alone, but I've made so many friends of different ages and fun, young to old. Yes, sometimes it's hard, but it's also easy to get to know people and have fun with them.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Jose Martinez Garcia. Thank you, Randy. How old is your daughter, Randy? She'll be 10. Wow. Amazing little girl. We're going to wrap this up with a video. This is the last family ministry we'd like to introduce to you. We, as a missions committee, have determined to pick up another ministry, another mission. And this is the Caudle family, Caudle. They're in Taiwan. And they've been there for 10 years. Prior to Taiwan, they were in China for a little while. Kristen and our pastor Jason, they have known them and supported them for years. And they have their local church is here in Flower Mound. And so anyway, with no further ado, maybe we'll just roll this deal here. And they're going to talk from their living room to us just a little bit. So meet the Caudles.
Hi, Lighthouse Church. My name is Rich Caudle, and this is my wife, Heather. And we're just so excited about partnering with you guys in the future in missions. And we've been serving with our family here in Taiwan for about 10 years. We have 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls, ranging from 18 to 11 years old. And so just want to introduce ourselves, and Heather will tell you a little bit more about us.
Yeah, so you guys, we've been in Taiwan for 10 years. We moved here in 2012, and man, it's been an amazing 10 years. We've seen a lot, the Lord do a lot. We've been involved with an organization called YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and we've heard some of you guys are familiar with YWAM, or you might be YWAMers yourself. So we came in 2012. We did a Chinese language learning team when we came. We got involved in the School of Biblical Studies here and in Frontier Missions. And then we actually led a few of the discipleship training schools with YWAM and Danshui. After that, in 2019, our family felt the call to plant a bilingual church here in the Taipei area. And so we moved to a city named Linco, and that's where we're currently living right now. And we helped plant City Light Community Church here. And it's a bilingual church that's meant to be an opening for expats here, but then to be an opening for international students who don't speak Chinese as their main language, but then also to be a place where we can invite locals. We can walk alongside the people, walk alongside local churches, just to disciple and to love on the community here in Linco. And we've really seen God grow and bless this church over the last 3 years. We're just excited about being a part of YWAM and being a part of City Light and all that God's had us to be involved in here in Taiwan. So Rich is going to tell you just a little bit more just about Taiwan.
Okay. So I'm sure you guys have probably heard about Taiwan in the news lately, Taiwan and China, that dynamic. So just to give you a little bit more background, Taiwan is off the southeast coast of China, about a little bit more than 100 miles off the coast. And it's not really big. It's about the size of New Jersey, but it takes about 17 Taiwans for the state of Texas, mm-hmm. it's 17 times bigger than Taiwan, so you can fit 17 Taiwans into Texas. Mm-hmm. So it just gives you an idea of how small it is, but it's 23 million people packed into that small area, so it's pretty densely populated. And the local language is Mandarin Chinese, the official national language. There's other dialects, but that's the main one. Mm-hmm. And the main religion is Buddhism. And so that's, you know, over 90% of the people are Buddhist, but it's kind of a mix of Buddhism, Taoism, Confucianism. It's kind of a little bit polytheistic in its way of thinking, but there's not many Christians. It's only about 3% Christian. And so there's just a lot of gospel work to be done in Taiwan. But that's kind of like the overview of what Taiwan's like. Mm-hmm. And our goal is basically to send the gospel to the lesser reached parts of Taiwan and into the nations. And so we just, early on when we started doing missions here, we just got the verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just about Taiwan and wanting to start locally and go to the nations. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we want to be doing faithful gospel work here. We want to go out to the lesser reached parts of Taiwan and then into the nations, because right here in the 1040 window, and there's a lot of unreached people groups right on our, right in our backyard. So anyway, we want to raise up Taiwanese, particularly young people, raise them as missionaries to reach the unreached in the rest of Taiwan and the nations.
Yeah, so you can see, I mean, just with what Rich shared with you, Taiwan is in a really strategic location to reach the unreached. And so that's really our heart, is to get to be a place to disciple, to train up, and then to send into the unreached nations. And so that includes here in Taiwan, we have unreached people groups right here in our country, but then also just in neighboring countries, just so close to where we are. And so there was a group of us that were part of the YWAM base, different YWAM bases, and we came here to Linco, and we've now pioneered and formed YWAM Linco. And so we're four different couples, families that are made up that all have the same heart and desire to see this next generation discipled, encouraged, raised up, and sent out. And so just part of the things that we're doing right now, you guys, is we're doing just basic evangelism. Rich has been out on the streets before doing evangelism, but honestly, God has just opened so many doors here in Linco to both the universities and in the neighborhoods and with the community. Over and over again, we're asked to come into the universities and share, and we have open doors to share the gospel to hundreds of students at a time from Vietnam and Indonesia, and then locally here in Taiwan. And so just we've been given this beautiful platform to get to share the gospel here in Linco. And so it's a time of favor and a time of blessing. And we're really grateful to be a part of what God's doing here in Linco, both in missions with YWAM and then also within our church at City Light. And then also as we've connected with the local church here, it's really been beautiful to see what God's doing.
Yeah. And so if we get the chance, we'd love to come see you guys. Like, we're from North Texas and we know Jason Holloman really well, the Hollomans. And so we love them. And so whenever we come back, we'd love to visit you guys. And if you guys ever decide to take a short-term trip to Taiwan, we can meet you out here too. So anyway, thank you so much for your time. And hope to see you in the future.
Bless you guys. Bye.
Bye. Amen. Amen. This is Heather and Rich Cottle. They could have stayed in the States and had a very comfortable, successful life. They had a deep stirring in their heart to go to Taiwan and to bury themselves in that culture. They both speak fluent Mandarin, and they are there for the long haul, the long haul. We sense that the window in Taiwan perhaps will be closing at some point here in the future, and we have chosen to invest $500 a month to get behind them at this time. Jason wants to go to Taiwan. I don't know if he'll get me on a plane to go all the way to Taiwan, but we're being invited by the Cottles to have a mission trip over there. So, Jason, would you come and wrap this up? And thank you so much for your financial support, your prayerful support, your moral support. Y'all are great. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Steve. I knew that we would be running late And so I took an hour message and cut it down to 30 minutes. I didn't do that. Everybody with children in the everybody with children in here just started hating on me. No, we're going to enter the time of the Lord's Supper. And so if the band would come up here to be ready for our concluding song. The passage that I'll read before we enter the time of the Lord's Supper is this. It's Romans chapter 10. I'll begin with verse 14. You don't have to turn there, but if you will, Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 14. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? And how are they to preach unless someone is sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. What's the point? The point is this. Each of the missions organizations that have been up here, those that are domestic, those that are international, how are they to know the person and work of Jesus unless somebody goes and preaches to them? And so that could be a local pastor who is in need. That could be a person who is making a significant pregnancy decision. That could be Taiwan. That could be El Salvador. That could be Cuernavaca, Morelos, Mexico. And so it is God's grace that we have the opportunity for those who are in the deepest of need, whether it be through paralyzation or a pastor who is in a dark night of the soul. What a privilege for us as a congregation to be able to contribute to each of these missionary organizations. None of this matters unless the foundation is Jesus Christ. Let us remember that as we enter the time of the Lord's Supper. If you have your elements, let me pray and we'll enter our time. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can remember once again. You didn't return this week for your church. You didn't return for your church this week, therefore we wait again. Today is the Lord's Day, it's Sunday, and we are going to recenter our eyes and thoughts and wait for you to return for your church this week. And if it not be this week, then once again on the Lord's Day, we will gather on the 20th and we'll reinstitute the Lord's Supper and remember once again and then see if you will return for your church that week. Would you do a work in our hearts today as we receive the Lord's Supper? We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. On the night that Jesus was to be betrayed in Matthew chapter 26, we see this illustrated. Jesus takes the bread and he breaks the bread and he says, "Take my body broken for you. Take and eat, church. Let us celebrate." That same evening, during the Seder meal, he takes the cup and he starts to pass it to each of his disciples. And he says to them, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink. Church, let us remember." Father, we thank you of your broken body and shed blood. We're thankful for the cross. We're thankful that it changed everything. You're no longer at a distance from your people requiring sacrifice and requiring all of these different things. No, you are fully satisfied by the death of your son, whom you gave. So we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that it is because of the changed heart that we can do all of these different missionary things. And church, as we conclude this service, may we worship with great gratitude all that we can celebrate in each of these missionary efforts. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.